Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Bikini and the Brain. I'm here with the lovely Ashley Kaltwasser.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today.
At our new set, which everyone seems to really like.
Yes, and it's getting better and better.
Better and better. Yeah, I think.
And it's still not complete yet, so no. It's going to get even better than this.
Yeah, I think. I think we're going to get some white chairs.
That would be epic.
Against this backdrop, right?
Yeah, that would be nice.
And you can't see here, but we got green screen now, too, so who knows what we're going to do with that. But, yeah, it's going to get better. And I think the sound, we've pretty gotten close to peaking.
Yeah, the sound's gotten a lot better. Yeah. I sound less annoying.
Yeah.
And we fixed the issue with the slow frames per rate or whatever the heck it was doing.
There's a whole bunch of technical things that you got to figure out. Anya, me, everyone figures it out. But Ashley, if you hear some episodes where Ashley sounds a little deeper, she doesn't actually sound like that.
I know. There was a few, I think, that were edited. And I'm like, why do we both sound deeper? Yeah. You sound deeper. She sound like a lumberjack.
Yeah.
You sound like somebody that's like trying to fake like, like or something. I don't know
where we were like we've been trying to figure out like sound and all these things and I don't know what setting I had it on.
Yeah.
But I had it on Ashley, I guess.
And you. But it's good yeah. It's good for you, I guess.
That was my sexy 80s DJ voice. Hello, ladies. So
funny.
Today's episode, I think, is a good one. I'm glad that you picked this one, and you're such a good podcast manager, or whatever we call it. But this one, you want to go into it?
Mistakes, right?
Yeah.
We all make them. Everyone's made mistakes. But the important thing is you learn from them. So I thought, you know what? Let's go ahead and put it out there. Mistakes that we've made mostly have to do with fitness, but it could be for life too. But I feel like if we get into whole life mistakes, you know, it's getting a little too far off.
I would
our,
need like
our
a
niche.
4-hour episode.
Yeah,
just me alone.
So we'll try to keep it more towards.
Be like going to confessions if I.
Yeah.
You got all day, guys.
So we'll try to keep it more fitness related, more industry related, or competition related, or even business related too.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's good to kind of. Realize what we've done wrong in the past, how we could do it better, and make sure we don't do it again next time. And also might help you guys out there too, so you don't make mistakes like this.
I think so too. I think especially as a coach, you make a lot of mistakes in the learning process. And that's the thing is, and I've had it too, where I've had so many trainers under me at this stage of my life. I mean, at 19 years old, I had the third biggest 24-hour fitness that I was managing. And we had 21 or 18 trainers like under me. And it's crazy is that you'd have like the smartest guys, like I had doctors that worked under me, and you'd have them, but they still didn't make the right decisions in prep. Like they still couldn't see it right. So it still came down to like learning. It wasn't about how smart you are. It's about learning the process of prepping people, learning the process of what looks good, what's too much, what's not enough. Like, in that process, really, you just learn that in reps in the gym. So hopefully, give you a few examples of today where you can learn from my mistakes that I've made, because I've made a ton of them, where I had a girl too hard or too soft or too whatever. And you just learn as time goes on and as it evolves, you just pay attention and try to hone your craft.
Right.
And I think when people are, like, looking for a coach, like, more than anything, that's what you're looking for. Do they have the eye? Because the guys that have the eye are always the guys producing. And you see a lot of like hit and misses with a lot of other people, and it's because they might be the smartest people and they might know the most about nutrition, but the eye is everything. And I've learned that more and more as I've gotten, because I used to be like this crazy science guy, only science. And as I've gotten farther and farther in, and I'm even seeing like up and coming coaches who maybe aren't even that educated, but they've got the eye. It's like, hey man, it's all about the end result, you know?
Yeah, like, that is so true. And I don't think people realize it or look at it from that point of view, but you can literally be the smartest person, but if you don't have that eye, it's almost like, in a way, it sounds corny, but like art, right? You can't necessarily teach someone to be creative. I mean, you can give them little skills here and there, but to actually be able to create and invent something like that, you know? And, you know, I don't know if you ever get that kind of feedback from people that don't know, and they'll see, like, for example, you'll post like somebody's transformation photo that's pretty drastic, right?
Yeah.
Or you think it is, and then somebody will be like, it looks the same. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it's so funny because I'll post like transformation photos from time to time, and I'll get either, you looked better before, or you look the same. And I'm like, I look the same? What? How?
There's no winning with you. Like, with you, there's no winning. Because it's like, It's so frustrating to like seeing it because I see like a lot of her comments too. There's too many to see, but there's, but it'll be, she'll look awesome. And then someone will say, oh, I liked you better before. And then she'll look like she did before. And then they'll say, oh, you really let yourself go.
Yeah.
Or you'll be like a transformation, which is obvious to a trained eye. And like nothing happened. They'll be like, oh,
yeah,
nothing.
Like, what you
did
you the do? Same.
You just, yeah. Is this from morning to night? I don't understand.
Yeah, but you know, like, it's just more of like an example of like some people don't even see, like if somebody says, oh, I can't even tell a difference. And to me, it's clearly
a
big transformation. Yeah. Like I'm like, well, that's an example of like the untrained eye.
Yeah.
If you can't see those little tiny details. So that is very accurate what you said. Like
yeah,
you can't really teach the eye. You kind of have to, well, you can teach the eye, but it's very important to already have two good eyes.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's actually a good point. I've never thought about that before though. But yeah, if people can't even see the transformation, how are they going to prep themselves or whatever for a show, right? That's funny. So, Ashley, I've been actually excited. When you sent me this one, I was like, this is actually, I'm actually interested. What do you think your biggest mistakes are?
Without a doubt, I had a mistake that lasted a year long. Yeah. You know what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't. Maybe they do. In 2017, I took a whole entire year off. And it was probably the biggest mistake. Many mistakes combined into one, but that was the biggest mistake I've made because I just made so many bad decisions during that year. And it's hard to say if I would go back in time to change it because if one thing did happen, it made me extremely appreciative and grateful and, you know, all that. But yeah, it just kind of made things very difficult for me. And hey, another good thing that came of it though, is now you're my coach and, you know, we'll get to that story later because it's, backtracking a little bit. You guys, who have tuned into this podcast know that like kind of dealt with pressure before in the past and it kind of does get to me, but I also had a lot of outside influences and kind of voices and, you know, those voices that says, oh, why don't you try being a normal girl and live this life of normalcy and go out and go drinking and go have fun with your friends and stay out late and eat pizza. Don't have to work out. Try being a normal person. And, you know, after hearing that for a long time, it's kind of like, oh, well, I wonder how my life would be if I just kind of like, you know, let loose for a period of time. And I was dealing with a lot of pressure, you know, with winning the Olympia three times comes the, one negative side effect, which would be the expectations, right? Everyone expects you to win or do extremely well, the burden of expectation.
Yeah.
And if you anything less than a first place is a complete failure and people feel sorry for you, and I hate when people feel sorry for me, you know? And also, I don't want to disappoint people. I don't want to disappoint myself. So I was dealing with that pressure. And also these voices like, you know, try being normal, Ashley. Why can't you go out, like, relax a little bit, have this balance in your life, you know? So it kind of was like, you know what? After the 2016 Olympia, I realized I needed a break because I gave 2016 Olympia probably 60% of my effort, you know? And it showed. I didn't look my best. I got fourth. Surprisingly, I got fourth. And I didn't look good at all, but, you know, I kind of was just kind of like over it at that point. I was just like, I just, you know, what is it? Like, I'm always expected to win. And if I don't, it's a failure. And I don't want to let people down. I don't know. Definitely got in my own head and just started to create that scenario. But with that also, I moved to California and got to experience the California life, you know. I moved from Ohio. I was living with my parents. So I was living with my parents, but I was traveling so much, it felt like I really wasn't living. I was like living out of a suitcase, basically. I'd go to one place to another to do a seminar appearance to compete. And then I'd come back for a few days, repack, go to another place. And at this time, I was competing a lot internationally, right? So it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, I'll go to the next state over. No, it was like trips like from across the world. When I say I literally like traveled the world, that is not an exaggeration. I was living out of a suitcase. There was times where I was gone for like a month at a time, just country hopping. Like, okay, Russia this week, and then I'm going to go to Sweden, and then I'm going to go here and there with all these, like, you know, back before the COVIDs, there was a lot more opportunities for expos and all that. So my sponsor would take me there, or I would get hired to do a seminar and all that. But yeah, I was living in Ohio still technically, but when I moved to California, it was like, I don't know, it was a little bit of a culture shock, but I was so amazed by it. And you know, you can't just sit still when you just moved to California. Ohio girl got all excited when she saw the palm trees. So I just, you know, I let loose and went out multiple times and didn't work out, just ate whatever. I would literally eat like Snickers bars for breakfast, like two of them. I don't know.
For breakfast?
For breakfast. Yes. I don't know. And then I would get, you know, I would go out on the weekends. I would drink and make bad decisions, like eating. Like, I can't remember if I ate that. Did I eat a cheeseburger last night? I don't even know. Like, you know what I mean? You wouldn't, I was unrecognizable, like personality-wise.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even, like, if you put my personality in a different body, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how it was. Like, you wouldn't even know that was me because I was just so different. So different. I was a social butterfly.
Yeah.
There was only one other time in life where I was like a social butterfly, and that was in college. And also, I did mediocre in what I was doing for college as well. Like, you know, not like I am now. I'm super motivated, ambitious now. But in college, it was the same. Like, oh, new people, new friends. I get to go out, experience the college life.
Yeah.
But now I'm experiencing like the California life, right? So different than Ohio.
Yeah.
So I actually had fun things to do and people to meet up with. And I was, you know, important because I had, you know, my little circle of friends and we'd shoot videos and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun for a little bit. But, you know, ultimately that did not bring me the happiness that everyone said, oh, you got to try this normal life and have fun and go out with your friends. Like, it was fun for like a few weeks. But then I just kind of like felt so out of it. Like, I wasn't myself. I felt like a different person because I kind of was. And I lost myself a little bit and gained 25 pounds, which isn't like that. I say 25 pounds and people will say, oh, no, I've lost 40 pounds. Or yeah. I know it's not a crazy amount, but for me, who's always been an athlete, I felt so sluggish and I lost I lost myself. Basically, I enjoy being leaner because I like to be stealth and agile and athletic. And, you know, there's no feeling like being lean and feeling like you're walking on air in a way.
Yeah.
Like you're just floating. And I didn't feel like that. I felt sluggish. I felt lazy. I felt blah. Like, I was so unhappy with myself and my physique at that time. I didn't even, at first, I stopped wearing tank tops because my arms were so, in my opinion, like, fluffy and they would rub against, like, you know, my sides and my thighs would rub together. And, yeah, I stopped wearing tank tops. And then it actually got to a point I didn't feel comfortable wearing, like, a t-shirt like this, like a short sleeve. I would always wear, like, hoodies, long sleeve, you know, just because I just felt so uncomfortable with myself. And just let me reiterate, if you do weigh 25 pounds heavier than me, that does not mean you're fat. This is like a personal thing for me. This is like my, you know.
Your life revolved around fitness and all of a sudden
Yes, I was always an athlete, gymnast, track athlete, bikini. I was always training for something, always an athlete. So I was always super in shape and stealth and agile and, you know. So I kind of just felt like, wow, this body that I trained so hard for, put so many years of work into, I ruined it completely. And I look like an average person now. And I felt like an average person, which everyone tells me is so fun, right? And I, I just felt so out of my body. I just felt like, who am I anymore, really? But then Adam saved the day.
That was a funny, that's funny how that all worked
I'll
out.
Oh, you take it from here.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've been talking way
too
long.
No, that's cool. I wanted to hear the story of it,
it's
too.
Like, okay.
But I think that's a good thing for people to hear, too, is like, you know, other people's pressures getting to you. And then, you know, you live your life. I think everyone just kind of naturally finds their path and lives a life. And it's funny, too. I say that in sports, too. Like, when people kind of come to me through prep, if they've played sports, like, you can usually, it's funny because people have, like, lit me up for this before, too. Because I'll ask them what sports they played when they grew up, and they'll say, oh, I was a long-distance runner. And I'm like, all right, were you good? And then they'll be like, yeah, I was really good at long-distance running. I'm like, all right, well, and then in my head, I'm like, okay, this person is most likely built more that way. Like, mm-hmm. usually will kind of migrate towards what you're good at. Right. Like, you'll go, like, I wouldn't go in long-distance run because I'm not, one, my mind is telling me not to because I don't like doing it. But it's probably telling me I don't like to because I'm not doing it. Probably telling me not to do it because I'm not built to be good at that, you know? And so it's hard for me and it takes so much effort. So like, I'll ask people that and then they're like, why does that matter? That's so stupid that you think that that's a thing. And I'm like, no, football players who are really, really good are, you know, white muscle fiber guys and they kind of mm-hmm. migrate towards that sport. So for like, that happens with all things in life too though. So like, you weren't designed to not be fit. You know, right. you're like, you're always gonna pick these sports that are the same type of explosive white muscle fiber type of thing, which is fitness, mm-hmm. gymnastics, track. And in life too, it's the same. I think the same thing applies just in a different way, of course. You're not that person. You're not the person who goes out, drinks. That's not, you're not comfortable there.
Yeah.
You're more comfortable being fit, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that other people who are maybe designed a different way, maybe not muscular, you know, that's just an analogy, but people who are designed in a way where they're just that social butterfly who wants to party and they're comfortable being softer, like that's their life, and don't let them put that pressure on you. You know, mm-hmm. you might be, I think it's a lot more rare for someone to be like hyper conscious of being fit,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone's right. built, just wired a different
way. Kind of like our episode we had a few weeks ago. What is it? You can't tell me. You can't.
My happiness.
You can't. You don't determine my happiness.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's another perfect example of that. Of like, and I've been there too. You know, I got that all the time. You know, my mom used to do that to me actually. Sometimes, then she understood after a while. She was like, okay, he's just built this way. He needs one thing he could be hyper focused on, and it just controls his life, and it is what it is. And I've accepted that too. That's why I don't try to do anything else because I understand it. It consumes me. So right now for me, it's like it's fitness, and I don't even want to try to do anything else because if I do, I already know what's going to happen. So right. I just stay away from trying to do anything else. And for you, it's fitness. For me, it's fitness. So it worked out really well because I'm at anything I used to do, this is the thing I'm best at doing.
Right.
So like, that's really cool. I think to hear that. I think other people need to hear that too. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're getting pressure from their friends, they're getting yes. pressure from their family, especially like the boyfriend girlfriend thing. Oh, you work out too much. It's all you care about. Whatever. Like how
don't
much
you have a life?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is a life. This is my life. You know, it's just, so there's this really famous speech, and actually it's Jim Carrey who gave this speech,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. If you guys have time to like, if you want to be motivated, like listen to the Jim Carrey speech. He's speaking at a graduation of a college, and He says, you know, he's talking about his dad, and he says, you know, his dad did a job that he didn't really like mm. because it was safe. And then 12 years later, his dad got fired. He goes, so even if you do something safe, you still might get fired. Even that's not safe. So you might as well take a risk at doing something you love.
Right.
Because what the worst case scenario for both is the same. Mm-hmm. You know, but one best case scenario for one is you do something you love forever.
Yes.
And I think that's a good like segue into mine too, because my biggest like, and I think we'll go like my biggest regret really in I would say probably in my life, if I were to say like my biggest regret, is probably going to be just staying with the company that I was with for so long. You know, I wasted so much time where I was there, you know, and I was, I started off, I worked for 24 Hour Fitness for years and years, over a decade. At 18, I started with them, and I was done at like, I want to say like 31, I forget. Mm-hmm. It was like, no, 30, 32, I don't forget. It was like, ended up being like 13 years. And it was cool. It was this big corporation. And honestly, with them, like I would never trade like the learning I got from them, but I could have done it in way faster time. Like I could have been out of there in like 2 years, 3 years. But the education I got from them on how to like manage this and do this and work with people and work with their clients and, you know, make the mistakes with like the general population first, which was their clients, not mine, type of thing. And you had a lot more like learning ability there, you know, because you could just get massive amounts of clients and it was regular health and fitness people. It wasn't like super extreme preps. You know, I did prep back then, but it was like I didn't have the amount that we have now. So it was nice to like learn, but I wasted so much time there. And the thing that sucks when you work for like a big company is that, you know, they don't see your talent. They're just, you're just another, your employee number, whatever.
Right.
And like, I never, like I did good. I managed their gyms as the fitness manager and stuff, but they still never really like saw the talent that I had. And I didn't see the talent I had too. And I think that was kind of critical of like, it's just part of like when you're working for a company, like you just try to get the job done that they want and you do the best that you can, you know, but like you kind of like when you're surrounded by people kind of telling you you're not that special, you kind of start believing it, I think, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it like gets into your head and then you just start like saying, okay, no, this is cool. This is safe. This is the Jim Carrey's dad scenario. It's safe. It's cool. Like, I don't need to go anywhere else. I don't need to push it any harder. I'm happy here. Like, and you like kind of convince yourself of mm-hmm. these things. And it was like, and I knew they didn't see my talent though. I was like, you know, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. You know, like I was like, you start thinking that way, you know, if you're just getting kind of washed in these numbers. And I think that it's important people like that are trainers to hear this, or anyone working their job who maybe you're going through the same thing. Because when I started, we used to do really well when you were like, it was a different like pay structure when I first started. It was just it was super easy to figure out. It was like, I think it was like you got 65% of your training sales, whatever it was, per session, and that was it. It was super easy. And then it became more complicated, got more corporate. And then when I left there, I mean, I was making like nothing. It was crazy how little I was making there. It was like, I would work like 50 plus hours a week and make less than 40 grand a year. And I was like, and I was really talented. And I was like, I know that I'm better than most of these guys here. Like I'm, you know, I'm doing all these preps. I could do that if I wanted to, but I was just afraid of leaving. You know, mm-hmm. I was just like, there was too much unknown about going independent. And I couldn't fully do the prep the way I wanted to, because I could only have a few clients at a time, because I wasn't technically allowed to do like run a full contest prep team while being an employee, because it was different. It was separate money. So it was like conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So they don't, you know, you can train there, but you can't do like anything on the side, fitness based type of thing. That was the kind of the rule. So I had my prep clients here and there, and I would bring, you know, two people, three people per show that were like doing personal training with me in the gym and whatnot too. But it wasn't like I couldn't ever reach my talent level, you know? And so finally, one day I left, right? I finally left. I was like, it was just done with it. There was a lot of weird things that, you know, a big company, this is a big company, and you just, I left for that.
Was there something that like in particular you remember that was like, oh no,
you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened, which is funny, because I don't tell this story very often, but this is kind of bad. It is, it actually doesn't, it's not great, but I really don't care. So you guys have figured that out by now. But okay, so I had this 24, they gave me a gym, and this is what happened. This is why I started not making money too, is that I was really good at training trainers. I was really good at training trainers and having clients, and everyone, you know, I was kind of known for that. I had a good education. I could teach people how to do programming. I could improve training departments really fast, because the trainers would, I would show them why they're not doing good, why they're not treating the clients right, what's going on, what's wrong. And so I was kind of like the fixer. So they would do is they would take me to a gym that was struggling, and then I would fix it, and then they'd send me to another gym. Mm-hmm. I was at like 11 different gyms they sent me to.
Dang.
And then, but in the years that I was in Colorado, which I think was only 3 or 4 years, I was at 8 and just in Colorado, and only in California, I was only at 3. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I was in California forever. They just kept me at a gym. They treated me very well in California. I was their golden boy in California, but out here it was just like, he's a workhorse.
And he made some advertisements. So he's actually a legit model, guys. Yeah. I just want to let you guys know.
I was in their
he's
ads.
He's a legit model.
I was in their ads. I was their, I was in their ads. I was in one of their ads in their corporate office, like on the whole wall. It was like this huge whole wall when you walk in, which is pretty cool. And I would never say, and I'm not saying anything bad about 24. They were great. I wouldn't be here without them. So I'm thankful for it, but I'm not thankful. I regret staying so long. And I think a lot of people are in that same boat where they're like going to work every day and they're just like going through the grind. And I mean, my hours there, they made me work like a split shift. So I lived there, you know, I was there, I got there at 8. I had a break at 11 and I had to come back at 3, but I lived far enough away where it didn't make sense to do that. So it was, you know, 8 to 11, break for 4 hours, 3 to 8 or 3 to 9, whatever it was. And then you had to work Monday through Thursday, and then you'd work on Saturday too. So you had like, you're just always there all the time, all day. So anyway, they sent me to another gym. And this gym had four like really overweight trainers. Like not just like, oh, they're soft, you know, and like I'm a little soft right now. And like,
no, that, you're not.
For me, this is soft.
For you,
but
yes.
For me, it's soft. Kind of how you felt in whatever. But I'm excited to jump, like, to be like super serious. The gym's almost done. I'm not
hurting my time. Dang, we should prep together, bro.
I'm all about it. But
let's do the same workouts and everything.
And so, yeah. So to me, when I got there, I didn't give any of those trainers clients. And it wasn't that I was trying to be a jerk about it or anything like that. It was just that they weren't living the brand. They weren't living fitness. And that's what clients wanted. You know, clients want, you don't go to a hairstylist that has bad hair. That can't cut their own hair. You don't go to a financial advisor that pulls up to your house in a 1980 Toyota Camry. You know, you don't, it's all these things are, you want them to look that way. You don't go to, you know, overweight trainers. Like that's, they have to know what they're doing to at least take care of themselves. Right. Yeah, like it just doesn't. All these things don't make sense, you know. So it's just every. That's how I look at. At least that's how I look at things. You know what I mean? Like if I'm going to a financial advisor and I go to his house and he's like in some $400 apartment where they're dealing drugs in the front, I'm like, why is this guy living here? Isn't he like the best with money? Like that's his job. Mm-hmm. So like you know that type of thing. That's just how I feel with trainers too. And I got a couple complaints at first with those with the trainers, and it was like uncomfortable for the client. They'd be like, oh, I don't really want to say anything because it was like sensitive, right? And they're like, but I'm kind of like, you know, not to be a jerk, but I'm like more in shape than my trainer is. Like, that's a hard thing to say. So a lot of times they were just like blowing through. And I was like, you know what? They're not living the brand. And so they made a complaint because I wasn't giving them clients like the, and they were saying I was being like a fattest, right? Or whatever they call it. Because it's like it's a corporation, you know?
Oh, I've never heard that.
Yeah. I don't know. But I was like discriminating against them because of that. Oh. And so it like turned into this whole thing. And I was like, look, here's the problem. They're not living
the
brand.
That was before the motivated. Cancel culture.
Oh,
can
before
you imagine
cancel.
Now?
I'll get canceled for this one again. I don't know. I'm collecting cancellations at this point because I'm not conforming to the societal norms of today. I think I'm almost old enough where I get the pass where like, he grew up in a different era. he could say these things, you know, like it's funny. Like you hear an old man say something and you're like, whoa, he just say that?
Yeah, I was like,
well,
no filter.
He's 75. He grew up in a different time. I think I'm almost there. So I could say things like that. But no, with the training, after that, I got in trouble for it. I was like, look, I'm better than this, you know, I'm better than that. You know, I know like where my value is and I know that I can't be part of that. Like I can't be part of just giving, you know, when I know what clients want, you know, I know what they want. I can't be part of something where I'm in the same group. I'm equal to these trainers who are just don't even care about fitness, period.
Right.
You know, like they're just doing it for a job. And I've never done this for a job. You know, if I were to just try to make money, I already told everyone, I would already do real estate. You know, that's all I would do. I probably made more in real estate this year than I did in coaching. And that wasn't even on purpose. It's just, it's easy, you know? And so if all I cared about was money, that's what I would do. There's not as much money in coaching, but it's the best reward. It's awesome life. And so I left. And then my first year, my very first year, within 8 months, I went to Club USA, which is another gym that I would never regret going to. And I went there and I made probably my first year four times as much.
Wow.
Four times within 8 months. Mm. Actually, within 3 months, I was already making more. And it was like, I had no clients because you couldn't take your clients. And I respected that because they did good for me. Mm-hmm. And then, but I was like, man, why didn't I do this earlier?
Right.
Like, why didn't I take this risk? You know, like, what would have been the worst case scenario? I would have went back to them if it didn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, why was I being so scared? You know, so comfortable. And I think that, you know, and all this just happened so quickly right after that, you know? I think being at Club USA was like a real blessing too, because it really exposed to me, like it was an independent gym. Dan and Rick Schliebe are the owners there. And they were like, they're really good to me. They believed in me. The owner Rick and was like, you're the best trainer I've ever seen. And I've been doing this for 50 years. And I was like, you know, it makes you feel good, you know? Yeah. And like, you didn't hear that from 24, you know? So it was like, I was like, man, you know what? I am. And you start believing in yourself more. You know, I am good. Like, what was I not believing in myself for, right. You know? And so that whole, like, that's probably like when I look back at that, it's my biggest regret just because of the time it took me to realize that.
So like you feel like you've wasted years?
I feel like I wasted.
Or do you feel like maybe not necessarily that you wasted years, but you could be a lot further today than you are because you spent so much time fiddling with them?
Yeah. I mean, if I look at it purely based on like net loss of time, mm-hmm. I could have done this after 3 years of working with them instead of 13, mm-hmm. right? So a decade, I lose mm-hmm. a decade of like progression, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you got to argue with yourself, like, would it have happened the same way? You know, who knows? You know, everything happens for a reason, I think. But I think that if I would have just believed in myself more earlier, I would have recognized my talents and I would have like taken a little bit of risk, mm-hmm. more risk. And now that's why I'm so like used to risk now.
Right.
Now I'm just like, go for it. Whatever happens, happens. Go for it. Go for it. Like, you know, I think that that's, I think it's important for people to do that, you know? And I think that the all things happen for a reason is another thing, you know, too, is like, because when I left Club USA, I went to Armbrose Pro Gym. And Dylan's the owner there. And originally, I was supposed to be a partner at Armbrose Pro Gym. I was supposed to be like 25% owner, right, with him. And then I got there, brought the team there, and then he ended up not doing that deal, right, which is fine. You know, mm-hmm. he had to do, at one time, he thought it was great for his business. And then as we progressed and where I was there for a few months, he was going through, like, partnership deals and whatever. And he was like, well, maybe not right now. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's just, it just didn't work out. And I was like, at the time, I was like, well, that's messed up. I came over here and brought my team and I left a gym that I was comfortable at and they really respected me at to come here. And then I was like, I'll open my own, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't even like a, you know, within 3 days of me saying that I bought that building because it just came available, I sold my house, did everything to do it. But you got to remember, all those things wouldn't happen if, you know, if Dylan would have said, yeah, I would have still been there. And then this wouldn't be where it is now. I would have never even had the concept of a contest prep center.
Yeah.
It was born out of security. Mm-hmm. It was born out of, I need something just in case someone pulls out of a deal or they don't renew my lease or whatever, right? It was born out of like being scared. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, it was like, oh, paranoia. Like what if Dylan doesn't renew my lease at this office now, you know? What if, you know, whatever, what if he sells the gym? I don't know. So the security of it was where it was built. And then all of a sudden, you know, that went from being, you know, since then we've, you know, quadrupled basically. But like what it's done for my life in terms of like happiness of having that place, you know, it's a lot more work, but having that place and happiness wise, it's like through the roof. And I just, right. all these things just needed to just, could have happened so much earlier if I would have just like taken risk and mm-hmm. like not been scared.
That's true.
And I think that everyone out here listening too could be like, man, if I would have just, maybe you're in that spot, you know, maybe you're in that comfortable spot, you know, decade at 24, it was comfortable. I was happy there. It was cool. You know, I mean, I knew I was better. I thought I was better. I could do more with my life, I guess I should say. And, but it was cool. I knew all the members and it was fun. And every day you're like, hey, what's up? You have like that community there. Right. But, it does. It's a regret of mine that I didn't do it earlier, that I didn't recognize. It's almost like I wish I would have recognized my talents earlier.
Right.
You know, like, why didn't I see that in myself? You know? Mm-hmm.
So since you had the success from kind of leaving them, that probably emboldened you to also take other risks in life that could, you know, possibly have a good reward attached to them. Maybe you got a little bit more, you realize, you know what, that's the breaking point and this is the thing. And then more of these little risks you start taking for the better, though. Do you feel like that's also kind of propelled your risk taking to another level?
Yeah, I'm a, what is it called? I guess I'm like impervious to risk. Is that a word? Like, I just don't care anymore because mm-hmm. like I've been through it all. You know, I played, and that was another thing too. Like, things happen for a reason. Like, I told the story before that I played poker at a pretty high level. And I was actually I did leave the gym one time for like 6 months. And I played poker. And I don't know why I would take risks there, but not leave the gym for independent training. That's mm-hmm. a whole other topic. But when I left, I was trying to like play poker. And I had this thing. I was like, okay, I'm either going to lose. This was my poker strategy. I was like, I'm going to lose $1,000 a day or I'm going to make $1,000 a day. That's what I'm going to do. That's my limit. Mm-hmm. And if I win 10 more days than I lose a month, I'll make $10,000 a month. And I was doing pretty good at that for a little while. You know, it was, you know, I was 22, something like that. And then, and that's actually, what's funny is that's how I got into kind of doing like the real estate things on the side too. It's just because I bought a house in Vegas a long time ago, and it was being built. And then by the time I got here, I lost all my money. By the time the house was built, I lost all my money, but then the house was worth more money. And so I was like, just take my deposit and get me out of the deal. And then the realtor was like, are you sure you want to do that? Because I have someone that wants to buy your house. So I can sell it to you and then sell it like literally as soon as all the paperwork's done, sell it to someone else and you'll make like, it was like 13 grand or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, let's do that. I'm like, that's a thing. Like, and that's how it kind of started, which is kind of funny. So everything happens for a reason, but yeah. Well, so I was playing, you know, I was playing poker and then I got a good bankroll going. And then I was, we did this, there was a big game. And I was like, okay, if I win this game, by the end of the game, I'll have enough money to like open a gym. Mm-hmm. That was the whole goal. It was like, take this risk. You know, I'm young, I can do it. If I win, I'll open a gym because I'll have enough money. And it was like, and then, you know, there's a hand I played which had more money in it than I really wish to discuss. It was a six figure hand. And, you know, it was like, it was risky, but I was doing really good back then. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm only 22. And I didn't start with that. I built up to that, by the way, in that game. I didn't start with like, you didn't come to the table with that much. And then I lost due to the odds. The odds were extremely in my favor. It was 87% chance of winning that hand. I still replay it in my head all the time. And then the one card that could come out came out, and I lost it, and lost that my whole bankroll, and then it put me back in the gym, right? So I think about that. I'm like, what would have happened if I won that though? Would I have built a gym too early and failed, and then who knows where I would be? Did it happen for a reason, right? Or would I have won it, had so much, and been like, let's go in another tournament, let's go in another game, a big game, whatever, right? And like, and then all of a sudden, I'm Adam, the poker player, who's, you know, either thriving or like just trying to get through the next month because he's grinding it out, which most poker players are. So like everything happened, I look back, that one I don't regret. That one I'm like, that was stupid. You know, I was like, why did I take so much risk? But the 24-hour one, like being there for so long, that one was like, okay, people can learn from that because there's so many people like working a job or doing something where they just aren't happy there. And they're not, maybe the position isn't recognizing their talents. Or maybe you're a competitor who's not pushing your talents as hard as you could. And you're just kind of like half weighing it, but you still, like there's people out there who do that. You know, they like, they'll compete. And they do really well, but then they're not even trying that hard, you know? And I'm like, dude, if you just tried, like you could be the next whoever. Like even if you're the next, even if you like just get a pro card and you never do well on the pro level, like it could change your whole life. Like if you just put everything into it and you took that risk, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, how many pros, like how many people do you know that are like a, not even like a pro, and they're just killing it in the fitness game, you know, with ebooks or whatever and things like that. And I just think that there's so many people there that just need to just take the plunge. I love seeing people succeed in fitness. I'm like the opposite of
and
like
vice versa too.
Yeah, know? Yeah, exactly. It's like, so anyway, that's my long story. But yeah, just spend. I think go to where you're treated best. Treat yourself the best, and don't be afraid to take risk, especially if you're young. If you're young, you got to take risk. Cause like, you know, it's harder when you're older to do that, when you have a lot of responsibilities. But when you're young, like when I was like, I could have done that at 25. I would have left a lot earlier. Right. So yeah, I think that's a big thing.
Yeah. So I want to connect our two stories now and tell you how I learned from my mistake of a year, which was the crappy year of 2017 forever will be my crappiest year. Hopefully it stays my crappiest year.
Worse than 2020, huh?
Worse than 2020, yes,
2020,
for sure.
Brutal, man. Sure. Actually, my 2020 wasn't terrible. I hated the scenario.
We were lucky. It didn't, of course it affected everyone, but for us, it was not as bad, you know, because we got finished, you know?
Yeah, you know what's crazy,
fitness
too?
Always there at the end
before
of the
I cut you off again for your story, because it connects. I'm connecting this now. This is another scenario, right? Without losing that money in the game I played, I wouldn't have gone back to the gym maybe. Without not having the deal with Armbrust, we wouldn't have Contest Prep Center. Without 2020 happening, we wouldn't have the Vegas Prep Center, and you wouldn't be in Vegas. So like, everything happens, right?
Yeah, sometimes you don't realize at the time why it happens. You just think it's bad and it's all bad. But you know, in time, you might look back and be like, well, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be doing this, or another good thing came from a bad scenario. But that is totally correct. Right. You know, it definitely motivated me to get the heck out of California.
California, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rough.
But yeah, so like I mentioned previously, Adam saved the day. So how I snapped out of this rut I was in, which was 2017 of, you know, just being unhappy and just kind of following the crowd and doing what other people think makes you happy, I guess, trying to be a normal person, whatever the heck that is. And then when I think the snapping point where it just like clicked, like, oh no, we had to change now, was I went to my friend's competition. And for the first time in over a year, I was surrounded by the fitness industry again. And I smelt the spray tans. And I was like, oh, I'm back home, you know? People started being like, Ashley, how are you? Where were you at? I haven't seen you in forever. Because, this, you know, me, I used to be at like every expo, every show, whatever. And I just felt like, wow, I miss this, you know? And I got to see all the competitors, and I'm like, oh, I miss that feeling of being on stage. The adrenaline rush, the hype, the excitement, the feeling of, like, accomplishment, regardless of how you do, just of making it to the stage and looking your best. And I miss that so much. And I realized once I went to her show, I'm like, oh, no, I got to change. I want to get back. It's time. It's time to get back. And I remember having a conversation with my friend, like, I want to do this again. I miss competing. And I was talking about it with her. And this was like the first time I've brought it up in a long time to anybody. And it just so happens that that same day, I get an email from Adam. And he asked me, hey, Ashley, do you ever plan on competing again? If so, I would love to help you out and, you know, be your coach or whatever. And I just thought that was the craziest coincidence, because like the same day that I had this conversation with my friend, that I've not had this conversation, it's not like I publicly put it out there or anything like that, or, you know, I just had it literally with one person that was my friend. That was the same day I got an email from you.
It's nuts.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is like a sign. This has got to be a sign. So I didn't even like hesitate, you know? I was even as far as going to, I was like talking with my friend also, like, this is where it gets super weird too, is because when I was saying, yeah, I want to get back into this, I miss this, I was like telling her, I'm like, I don't know about like who was going to be my coach. I don't know. But I was like, mention you specifically. I was like, well, I remember Adam, when I met him a few years ago, he seemed super like knowledgeable about the subject and super enthusiastic about competing and being a coach. And I literally mentioned one person, and that was you, which, mind you guys, I've met Adam just briefly only a few times. One was at a seminar, and one was whenever you were in LA and we like trained together once. But it wasn't like I was talking to you every week or every month. It was kind of like just like
sporadic,
sporadic a few occasions.
Yeah.
But you were the first person like popped into my mind, and you were the one that emailed me, and you had no idea that I was planning on competing again. In fact, most people just thought I retired and I was never going to get back. Yeah. I never said I was going to retire.
Stuff like that. You took a year off, and everyone's like, man, you're doing so good since you got back. I'm like, it's like a year.
Yeah, like everyone thought I was already done. Like, no, I wasn't done. I just, you know, skipped a whole year completely. But that's whenever, that's a lot of people ask how we met. We've met a few times before at a seminar, but that was like the first time like we decided to, you know, train together. So that was like a no-brainer. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is meant to be. This is it. So then we started the long and difficult process of prepping, which That was a tough one. You know, losing that weight, oh my gosh. Life is so unfair, it's so easy to gain weight. But when it comes to, like, losing it, it is so tough.
Man.
And it was me especially. It took me, like, literally, what was it, 6 to 9 months to prep.
Yeah.
Like,
those
literally.
First 3 months, like, nothing happened.
Yeah, and I was trying really. It wasn't like I was just, like, slacking. Like, once like, we made the decision to do this, like, I was so motivated after that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, this is just what I need.
What's crazy is when your check-ins would come in, I would wait till, like, everyone left the office to yours. Because I was, like, it was, like, high stress. Because I was, like, gosh, I want her to get results. I want her to get results. And it would put me in a kind of like a mood of like, okay, what am I doing wrong? I would second guess myself like the whole day if I got yours too early. So it just wasn't, so I had to wait because it was, they kept coming in and not too much was changing until we found out your thyroid issues, right? And
the year off definitely didn't help with thyroid issues. And genetically speaking, my mom has thyroid issues too.
So that was crazy. And then one day we figured it out, then it all just clicked when we got the thyroid figured out. But it was like
a long process.
She was grinding, man. And then she even wrote me. She was like, what did you say? You were like, I swear I'm doing it. I swear I'm trying. Like, she was trying to like convince me. Yeah. And I was like, I believe you, Ashley.
Well,
like,
the thing is, I'm sure, you know, if you didn't know me that well, you know, I'm sure a lot of people say they're doing their plan 100%. But in reality, they're eating pizza on the weekend or whatever. And I was like, no, I'm really trying. But thank God we got that figured out.
Yeah.
But what it did teach me, my big mistake of 2017 was to be appreciative of like the little things, every little improvement you make. And also I think with success, how I was successful in the past, like here's the thing about success. The more successful you are, the more you tend to brush off small accomplishments. Like I remember when I first started competing and I first turned pro, you know, I was so excited that a spray tan company, Liquid Sunrays, shout out, they offered me a sponsorship, which was just 3 free spray tans a year. And I was so excited about that. I was like, oh my God, I got a sponsor. You know what I mean? And as you get more successful, more sponsorships, more opportunities, right? To like where you have tons of sponsors. And when you get something like that, it's like, oh, that's nice. But I need to remember what it feels like to get those little small accomplishments. You know what I mean? And once you win the Olympia, that is the top of the top. Like you've done it all after that. So it kind of felt like, you know, I lost some of those little things that I used to be so proud of myself for, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? And not even just sponsorships. This could be anything, really anything. And whenever you win so much, it kind of just feels like another day sometimes. You know what I mean? Win the Olympia 3 times, that means when you win a small show, it's just another day.
Yeah.
And I never want to feel like that ever again. That's how I did feel. I don't feel like that anymore. I literally look forward so much to competing. And when I win, I get really excited.
Yeah. I would say you're probably one of the most enthusiastic people I know when it comes to show. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I love it.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about because of how many shows you've done. Because we estimate around 50. We don't know.
I should sit down one day and try to figure it out.
You have 22 wins.
And you know what's funny is like sometimes I'm like, did I win 22 or 23? I thought I won 23.
I thought is it 23?
I don't know. I'll have to look at our last photo. The battle in the Texas, we're doing this. We're either holding up, I'm holding up 2, and you're either holding up a 3 or a 2.
That's so bad that we both don't know.
I keep going back, I'm like, shoot, did I say like 22 in an interview, or was it 23?
That's so funny.
That's a good thing though, right?
No, it is a good thing. It's a good thing. So it's like, to still have that enthusiasm, it just shows that it's so passionate. And I think it's the same thing. I think we both, you know, I think we both have gotten really, really lucky and found what we really want to do in life.
And you don't know what you got till it's gone, right?
Yeah.
For me, especially like in 2017 when I didn't have it and I missed it. You don't know. Now I'm very aware of what I have.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's good to know too. Yeah. I'm always living in fear that it's going to go away. And that's why I keep pushing just to stay afloat and stay relevant and stay on top of my game and whatnot. But I think that you got to listen to that instinct that you have of like, in your soul telling you what you should be doing and the direction it's pointing you. Just like I talked about earlier, where it points you in the direction of playing a certain sport because you're built a certain way, or doing a certain thing because you're built a certain way. Same thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for me, like out of all the things that could have happened in my life, like what if I would have just liked, you know, if I would have just liked money and wanted to just do real estate, like, you know, what if that would have been like, oh, that's what I like. And a lot of guys do that. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's their thing, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
But like, there's so many things that I could have done to end up here. You know, it just is crazy to think about. But I, like at this point now, I've fully accepted that like, and appreciate that. I think that I honestly, this sounds stupid and dumb and touchy-feely, but I honestly feel like I was put on this earth for this. Like, I honestly feel like I was put on this earth
for... Oh, me
for,
too. I feel like I was built for this. This is like... The way things lined up in my life, it just... I got either too lucky or it's just what I was born to do. You know what I'm saying? How things just lined up.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think you're... And I always say, I don't think anyone's lucky. I think everyone earns their luck. You know, I think that you earn your luck.
Right.
You know, the only people who are like lucky are, I think, are like lotto winners, right?
Right. But like, right. I mean, obviously I worked hard, but like, yeah, I do feel like I was born to do this. Like,
but yeah, you know what I mean? But think about it. Like, you've been working your whole life to get this. Yes, there's, you know, people can look at it like, oh, she's lucky. She's got this. I'm like, well, did you put in, you know, 20 years of sports, 20 years of, do you take, like, Ashley still doesn't cheat on her diet like ever. She had 1 year where she did bad. The rest of the time she's been super focused. And since then, I mean, we can count on, I can count on two hands how many cheat meals you've had since our first email.
Yeah.
In 2017, you know, well, I wouldn't say that's our first email, but our first email since back, you know, like that's crazy to think about. And people are, you know, you create your luck. You know, if you looked at how hard I work and how many days in a row I work, I mean, sometimes it's like, I mean, I don't even know when the last time I had a day off, it's probably been 8 months at least, you know, like at least, you know, so like it's, you earn it, you earn your luck. So like, if you want that, you do got to work for it. Nothing's going to be given, nothing at all. You know, and I think that that's a lot of the problems that we're seeing these days too. A lot of people just think it's going to happen like that. And they're disappointed when it doesn't happen the first time they tried. And I'm like,
and then they give up. Yeah.
I'm like, guys, like I ate it for 13 years at one gym, and then it took me another 8 months past that to even just realize I was good at this.
Yeah.
You know, like we're talking 14 years, you know, even when I was first competing, I didn't even place for my first like decade, you know, because I was doing bodybuilding. I was so small for bodybuilding. I did really good when Men's Physique came out. Man, I wish would have come out earlier. but so like it takes time. And I think that everyone needs to know that even if you're just a competitor or you're just trying to do your own thing or you're trying to be the next coach or the next Instagram influencer or whatever, like YouTuber, I mean, it takes forever on YouTube, especially. I mean, unless it's something you get lucky and something really clicks. But again, you earn your luck because you put out the video, right? So like, I just think that that's a good lesson for everyone too, to like, okay, these guys have both been through the ringer a bunch and you got to go through it, I think too. And you got to take risk and you got to like believe in yourself. I think that's what it comes down to all this is all those, you know?
Absolutely. And just have gratitude, you know?
Yeah.
I've become, not that I wasn't grateful before. I don't ever want to seem like I was never grateful. I'm always grateful, but I am way, way, way more grateful now than I was before the year off. Because like I said, when you don't know what you got till it's gone. And even I will say, like, winning and stuff like that, even if I don't win, I'm literally grateful to be there and compete. Like, you know what I mean? After a show, I never cry. You know what I mean? Even if I have a bad show or whatever, I might be disappointed for a little bit, but it doesn't like ruin my whole day. Because at the end of the day, like I mentioned in previous podcasts, I can't be too mad because my career so far, which I say so far because I'm just getting started, you know, I'm just saying, just getting started, so far has been so good to me. And, you know, I can't complain too much. And knowing that what life is like without competing and without fitness and Coach Adam and all the fun things that go along with prepping and just even being in the industry and in the environment, knowing what it's like to kind of live an opposite life, I will take this one all day, every day over what would be considered an easier life, right? The California life of going out with my friends, eating whatever, not working out, not really having any responsibilities, not really having a schedule. You know, I was basically making money as an influencer. And honestly, I made more money then than I do now, for sure. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I'm happier now, so it doesn't even matter. I like this life way more.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy to think about too, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's so funny that we've both been tempted with that too. I guess with like the alternate income, that
could
have been
more,
could have been better, but we both just hated it.
Oh yeah, totally. And you know something, it was easy money too.
Yeah,
it was really easy. Like my engagement back in 2017 land was way better. You know why? Because I was around, you know, my social media friends who we would all do collabs with and videos. here's the thing. It really wasn't a lot of fitness videos, though. It was like comedy.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of that comedy crowd engagement. So my engagement used to be so much better. Like, oh, it's a fraction of what it is now because it's like motivating stuff now, right? It's training, motivating, whereas it used to be like funny or a lot of booty pics. I'm not going to lie. Back in the day, so many more booty pics in 2017. Like, it was that kind of, you know, atmosphere. Booty pics, comedy skits, so much more engagement. Easy likes, easy shares, which more engagement means bigger brand deals. So I was making good money, but it wasn't motivating. It was kind of just like a, not a lot of substance. Like, not gonna change anybody's life, right?
Yeah.
You might get a laugh, a giggle, but it's not, I feel like this is more rewarding because I show, you know, my life now, how I live a fit and happy life, how, you know, I think one of my biggest things is I like to show that fitness can be fun, right? Because I think sometimes in our industry, the competition side of fitness, it kind of gets a bad rap because people are too extreme. And then they put out there just kind of like, almost as if their lives are miserable, like as a badge of honor. Like,
it's so weird. Just,
like, this week was so hard. I only ate fish and asparagus, and they, you know, show that side of it. And, you know, it is tough to be a competitor. It's not easy. I don't expect everyone to be able to do it. Very few people can live the life that I'm living, and a lot of people wouldn't want to. I want to. And I want to show, you know what? I work hard. I train hard. I go 100%. But you know what? It's actually fun.
Yeah.
See? I'm not miserable. I don't live a miserable life just because I'm very dedicated. Some may call it obsessed. That's okay. But I'm still having fun. I'm having the time of my life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. So if there's one message I want to get out on my social media is that, like, fitness can be fun. Competing can be the time of your life, you know? Yeah. It really can be. Don't let those pictures from other competitors of their tilapia and asparagus 7 times a day fool you.
Yeah.
It can be fun. You don't have to do that, by the way.
Still no fish for her.
No fish. Ever. I have not had any fish.
Not even in Japan, which I'm still mad about.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I prefer this life way more than my 2017 normal life.
Yeah.
And, yeah, regardless of money or anything, I would pick this over that any day of the week. So.
And you know what? Speaking of you making a living in fitness, too, we should tell everyone now that you are doing posing sessions.
Oh, yes, I'm doing posing.
Posing sessions at the Prep Center and then...
And online, too.
And online, too. She's going to take the leap of doing online. So if you guys want to, shoot her a DM and hit her up for posing. But for private posing, we're open in Vegas now for private posing. So
actually have one after this.
Oh, look at that. So, so that's really cool. And now you can turn it into even the coaching and all that, too, now. So I'm super excited about that. See you here more.
Me, too, because I get to be, like... around you guys more. Because I felt like in California, I was like, you know, I'd come in like maybe once a month or once every 2 months. And, you know, I was a little jealous that I wasn't in the fitness atmosphere. I felt left out.
Yeah.
But now we're all together and I'm super excited to be like more involved with the team. And it's more motivating for me just to like be around this atmosphere more often.
It's a crazy atmosphere here, honestly, now. It's crazy. Samantha Jering, she's flying in to move here officially Saturday. Frida's already here working out every morning. You know, Anya's obviously here working out all the time. Mark's here training clients already. Josh is coming in August. So all these people are like pros. Sam
and
Catlin.
Adam's here.
I'm here. Sam Catlin just moved here last week. G's coming in another, probably another month. Courtney's moving at the end. So it's like, it's crazy. Like, the group is so, the environment is so cool, too. So we're going to be, so you guys know we'll be doing, look at Angel Competitions, Bikini's Instagram and mine. Probably hurts, too. We'll have some, we're doing a bikini posing workshop in a couple weeks on the 27th. And then also they're taking appointments for fittings as well as the Shoe Fairy. And and that's basically it.
Yeah, and so. Even keep in touch because we'll have more opportunities like that in the future. I know that sometimes you'll have like a posing clinic too.
We'll have them, in Vegas. So even if you're just visiting Vegas, we're gonna have a posing session, posing seminars for guys. So we're doing men's physique, bikini, figure, and wellness, and that'll pretty much be every Saturday that there's not a show in Las Vegas. So So yeah, you look at it on Instagram, and anyone who listens, I mean, anyone, we just let anyone come in on Saturday for posing class. So it's free. I don't charge anyone to come in and pose. The only thing I say is just you have to be a participant. You can't come to watch, just so the girls feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's it.
Absolutely. So yeah, guys, I know you've made mistakes out there. Just know you can learn from them. And
they can make you better.
They can make you better. And yeah. And I think another strong point to take from this as well is, you know, things do happen for a reason. Sometimes it seems like it sucks. It might not make sense. It might make it seem like you're in a sucky situation, but it'll make sense later on in life. Yeah. Who knows how long it might take for you to realize that, oh, maybe this was a good thing that this happened a few years ago because I wouldn't be here or doing this or whatever the case may be. So good can come from it. You just got to learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And with that, we'll leave you guys. Thank you so much. Talk to you next time.